The definition of a wicked person is somebody who disadvantages the community for the sake of themselves. Everything that we do really should be to build up other people and help other people get better. What God has given to me, I don't do for me. I do it so I can make the world a better place.
Hi, this is Jason Prater, one of the pastors at New Hope Community Church. I want to say thank you so much for downloading this podcast, downloading this app. We've got a great message for you today. Stay tuned after the message. We have some exciting ways for you to get involved.
All right, so let's get into the message today. I think we've got a good message today. It's been great for me. Sometimes I think Pastor Russ gives me messages that he thinks I need to hear, and then he takes off, you know. And so this is one of those weeks where I'm sitting there in my office. I'm a few times literally in tears as I'm reading these things. And so as I always say when I'm up here, I'm going to preach to myself this morning. And if you want to listen and grab something from it, then that would be great. I think there's a lot that all of us can take from the message today. So again, our screens are a little bit messed up, but Rick is doing an awesome job back there. So we'll just keep rolling through this. So today we're wrapping up the series called Killing It. Pastor Russ started this, and if you haven't heard the other messages, I would encourage you to go online and download those messages. This is a powerful series for us to be in. And so this series has been about killing that one thing in all of us that has the power and potential to kill everything good in and around us. In and around us. And I think the next slide, so we'll just keep rolling to the next slide, Rick. The root of all evil is pride. I know a lot of people say that the root of all evil is money, but that's not the case. Really what makes money, you know, we have people in our church that actually have done very well financially and they're great people. What makes money evil is if there's pride involved in it. So pride is at the root of all evil in all of our lives. So now there are good forms of pride. Okay, so those of us who are parents and grandparents, we have pride in our children, pride in our grandchildren. That's a wonderful thing to have. Watch our little children grow up, and that's amazing. Pride in our work. We should all have pride in our work no matter what we do. We should come to the table and say, hey, man, if I'm a mechanic or if I'm a CEO or anything in between, you know, whatever it is, if I'm a teacher, whatever it is, we should show up and have pride in our work. That's important to have. Pride in our marriage and relationships. And on Thursday night when I said this, one of the things I said is that there are people in this room that you have stuck through the tough times, and you've been married 30, 40, 50 years, and I saw a couple back in the back, and they kind of nudged each other and smiled, and they had a sense of pride about that marriage, and so there's something to be said when people stick it out. So there's a good healthy pride that we can have in marriage or just relationships. I have a friend, and we were talking the other day. We celebrated 30 years of friendship. He's in Florida now. He's a cop in Florida doing a great job out there, and we just can't believe how much we've been through together, and so there's some pride in that. Pride in our community. I think it's wonderful when we come to a place like East Lake or Chula Vista or the South Bay of San Diego County, and we have pride in our community, and we serve, and we give back to people, to the other people around us, our neighbors, that pride in our community. But there's also bad forms of pride. So the bad forms of pride would be this. If we have pride in our children, that's wonderful, but the bad form of pride is the pride that causes us to yell at our children or to belittle them. And sometimes, maybe we've all been guilty of this at times. We get frustrated. I know with my 3-year-old daughter, she's the why question has come up. Why? I don't know if you've been in that stage before, but we're at that stage now. And so at those moments for us as parents and grandparents to be cautious, not to let our pride get in the way. Pride that causes us to celebrate when somebody at work screws up. Now, no one's going to admit this, but we've all been there before, right? One of our coworkers messes up, and we get really excited about that. So these are the bad forms of pride, and we'll move on to the next slide, the bad forms of pride. Wait, okay. Are already there. Pride that causes us to put ourselves first in marriages and relationship. We already talked about that. That's the bad form of pride. And then pride that causes us to take more from the community than we give. And then I've got a saying here that this really changed my life a few years ago when I read this. It's by Tim Keller. At least I heard him say it. He's a pastor in New York. And here's what this saying has to say. It says, the definition of a wicked person is somebody who disadvantages the community for the sake of themselves. The definition of a righteous person is somebody who disadvantages themselves for the sake of the community. So if we come into a church or a community or a city and we're constantly taking and taking and taking, that's a form of pride, and that would make us probably a wicked person. The righteous person is the one that comes in and says, man, how do I give? How do I disadvantage myself mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually for the sake of my community? And I think that's an important thing to hear. Pride keeps us from saying what needs to be said. Now, this is big right here. Pride keeps us from saying what needs to be said and from hearing what needs to be heard. okay? So there are times, for instance, if I'm in a staff meeting and I don't want to cause any conflict, or if I'm in a relationship and I don't want to cause any conflict, maybe I won't say something that I need to say, and maybe it's important to say. And we tend to think, well, see, I'm a good person, so I won't say that, and it, you know, everything's good about it. But really what we're doing is we're saying, I don't want to say this to so-and-so because I have really, it's pride. And what we're saying is, I don't want to cause confrontation, but really, we just don't want to have confrontation for ourselves. So we say, hey, I'm not going to say that, but really, that person needs to hear it. And if we have an attitude of a Christian, we say, everything that we do really should be to build up other people and help other people get better. So if I have something that needs to be said that could help you get better, I need to say it. And if I don't say it, that's pride on my part, right? But then the flip side of that is, sometimes there are things that we need to hear that we don't hear. So people come to us, maybe a coworker or a boss or someone we're in a relationship with, or our spouse, partner, you know, whatever. They come to us and they have something that they want to say, and we can't hear it. Why? Because of their own pride in our own life. And I know that that has been a battle for me at times. Somebody comes to me and I think I know best. We've all been there at times. And that is pride, keeping us from saying what needs to be said and hearing what needs to be heard. So last week, Pastor Russ talked about the three P people, and all of us have been there at some point in our life where we want power, we want prestige, and we want possessions. We want houses and cars and all that kind of stuff. And this week, one of the things we're going to talk about, today we want to talk about those who have the appetite for being known. Those who have the appetite for being known. And here's what that means, okay? So this probably applies to more of us than what we think. We'll go to the next slide. So show hands real quick. Show hands. Join me on this. How many of you have the following? How many of you have Facebook? Show hands. Okay, it's a good crowd. That's why Mark Zuckerberg is a billionaire. We've all helped him get there. How many of you have Instagram? Okay, a few less, but we have Instagram. How many of you have Snapchat? Wow, all right, we got some people here. I didn't know if you're older than 20, I didn't know we had Snapchat. So, but cool, I mean, that shows we got some cool people in here. All right, okay. How many of you have Twitter? Okay, yeah, do not invest in Twitter stock. I'm here to tell you right now, that's the reason why. You just look around the room and realize they're going downhill, okay? So because of these things, a lot of us have an appetite for being known, and this appetite looks like the desire to be friended, we want to be followed, and we want to be liked, whether it's online or whether it's in person. We want to be mentioned. We want to be that's so good when somebody mentions us in a comment, right? We want to be recognized. We want to be admired. We want to be sought after. We want people to come to us for advice, and we want people to be we want people to envy us. So we put up all the good on Facebook, right? We put up all the good on Instagram. We don't put up the bad hair days and the bad moments and the things, because we want people to look at our lives and envy us. Now, this desire to be known, it really starts young. And for those of us who had really amazing parents, we got filled up, we had everything that we needed, and we didn't have this desire to be known, and because our parents filled us up. They did it. We grew up in a great family with grandparents and parents, and we just got everything we needed. But others of us in the room, we didn't have great parents. We didn't have good situations in our household, and because of that, we've spent the rest of our life trying to figure out ways to be known. So we do it through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat, for the five of you in here who do that. And these are ways that we try to use these things so that we feel known because of what we didn't get. And if we don't get the healing, if we do not get the healing we need, okay, so that means through therapy and counseling and all those things that sometimes we don't like to talk about in church, but I know personally that they're very important for us in life. If we don't get the healing we need, that the appetite for being known just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. So most of us will probably never say these words right here. We'll never say something like, I have enough friends, I have enough followers, I have enough fans. I don't like to see my name in print. I don't want to see people liking my status updates. I cannot stand when people send me friend requests. I can't stand when people comment on my post. Most of us who have Facebook will probably never say this. There is no amount of known, okay, that will satisfy your appetite for being known for the thing you have determined you want to be known for. So again, we're going to talk about all this today and how we satisfy that appetite, but most of us, if we don't get the healing we need, if we don't take the steps we need to need, there's not going to be anything that's going to fill it up, and we're just going to keep posting and keep posting and keep posting and keep trying to do things that make people like us so that we can be known. So here are the two important questions for you to ask today, and I want to tell you, I've been asking these questions myself a lot this week. Thursdays before we do services, I always there's a trail over here, and I always walk or run that trail, and I kind of clear my mind before Thursday night service, and I was really asking myself these questions. These might be good questions for you as well. What do I want to be known for? You have to ask yourself that. What do I want to be known for? And that's a deep question if you want to sit down and process that. And then what is my life pointing people towards? As Pastor Russ talked about last week, our lives are always, we're a stop sign or we're a yield sign or whatever it is. Our lives are always pointing us in the direction of something. And so the question we have to ask is, what is my life pointing people towards? When people talk to me, what am I pointing them towards? In my relationships and in my interactions with people, what am I pointing people towards? Am I negative? Am I positive? Am I showing love? Am I showing kindness? Or am I showing evil or wickedness? We talked about the righteous person and the wicked person. What am I pointing people towards? And so today, we have the greatest example of somebody who deflects a lot. And so we're going to be looking at the life of John the Baptist. The life of John the Baptist. Now, we've got three posts from his life. So let's pretend this morning that John the Baptist had Instagram. I like Instagram better than Facebook. It's a bunch of pictures. It's great, okay? So let's pretend that back in the day, way back 2,000 years ago, that they had this thing called Instagram. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at three posts from the life of John the Baptist. If he were to post pictures, but he wouldn't do that, somebody else would, because you'll see that's not the kind of person he is. But if there were three posts on Instagram this morning of John the Baptist, here's what these posts would look like. So here we go. Post number one, Mark 1, 4 through 5. And so, and this is very easy right here. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. So the first post that we're going to see, it's really important for us to understand this, that John the Baptist was a very famous person. A lot of times when we read names in the Bible, we don't tend to associate them with fame or power or prestige. But back in that day, it was an oral culture. So if somebody spoke, if they could speak really well, because they didn't have Instagram or Facebook or Netflix or Hulu or any of those kind of things. So if somebody spoke really well, people would come from all over the place to hear him speak. And it really didn't matter what they were speaking about. You could be Christian or Zoroastrian or whatever it was. Back in the day, they'd come hear anybody speak. That's just how it was back in the day. John the Baptist had a real gift. And so when it says all of the Judean countryside, it meant thousands of people were to come listen to him speak. It wasn't just a couple hundred or a few people. It was literally thousands of people would fill the countryside to hear him speak. Okay, he was a well-known. So if he had Instagram, he'd have the blue check mark next to his name. Do you guys know what the blue check mark is? Does anybody here know what the blue check mark is? If you're famous on Instagram or Facebook, you get that check, that blue check mark. And I tried to get it before, but they wouldn't give it to me. So this is a good message for me, right? But it's a blue check that says, if you see that check, this person is famous. John the Baptist would have a blue check by his name, okay? So here we go. Now, that was the first post. So now we understand he's famous. The second post on Instagram would look like this, from John 1, 15, 19 through 27, 29, 35 to 37. John testified concerning, watch this, him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. You guys know where I'm going with this. I probably could stop right now and take an altar call. Like it's pretty easy what we're going to talk about today. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely. I am not the Messiah. That's what he says, okay? Really famous guy. A lot of people talking about him. He says, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, well, then who are you? Are you Elijah? So Elijah was one of the famous prophets that a lot of people knew from that Jewish time frame. But they asked him that. He said, no, I'm not. And they said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no, I'm not the prophet as well. Finally, they said, well, who are you? What do you say about yourself? Now, let's stop there real quick, okay? Who are you? What do you say about yourself? A lot of us, when people come up to us, if we're honest with ourselves, if we were to raise our hands, we would say, that is the greatest question that we love to hear. Who are you and what do you say about yourself? We love to talk about ourselves. So I have been privileged in the South Bay, been here 3.5 years, been at the church 3.5 years, to really dive into the community. We have a beautiful community. This might be one of the greatest communities in the world, so diverse and so many people. So I get the chance to sit on a few boards and stuff like that. And so one of the boards I sit on is South Bay Community Services. We partner with them quite a bit. And last night they had a gala and you had to go attend. Now, with these boards, and some of you who've sat on boards or you sit in the community, you know you've got to go to events and you got to shake hands, you got to hand out business cards, you got to talk to people. And I got to tell you, I'm an introvert. That may not seem believable, but it's actually true. After today, I'm going to go crawl under my covers and disappear for about 24 hours, all right? So I'm an introvert, so going to these kind of events really is, it's kind of tough. I love it, and it's fun to meet those kind of people. But when I first started going, I was really, really nervous, and I got some anxiety about it. Like, what do you say when you go to these things and these kind of people you talk to? And then I started reading up about what do you do at networking events. And some of you who go to networking events, you know that the secret is don't talk about yourself at all and go ask the question. And this is what I do. This is the secret question. Tell me about yourself. And then I just sit back and do nothing for about 10 minutes. And I just listen and listen and listen and listen. Now, I realize by telling you this, I can never pull this again at New Hope Community Church. All right? It will never happen. But I want you to know, seriously, I do love listening to other people's stories. I majored in history with my undergrad. And so I love that. But I have found that that's the secret. Because why? People love to talk about themselves. And that's just human nature. We talk about what we know, and we know ourselves. So if someone comes up to any of us in this room, including myself, and says, tell me about you. Oh, how many minutes do you have? You know, let me sit down. So we like to do that, right? We like to point people to ourselves. That's just innate in all we are. But what we're noticing about John the Baptist, he doesn't point people to himself. We're going to watch this. He quickly deflects and deflects. And people are trying to ask him, who are you? Who are you? Tell us who you are. And he quickly deflects that. So if he were at a networking event, you'd get no information about him. He would be pointing you towards Christ or to whatever it was that he was working on. So John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. So I'm not my own voice. I'm not the voice of me. No, I'm the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. So he's saying, it's not about me. I'm calling out and I'm helping people. I'm helping prepare the way for the Lord. So remember our two questions there. What do I want to be known for? It's a question you have to ask. And then number two, what is my life pointing people to? So when people come up and talk to me and ask me certain things, what is it that I'm saying about myself? Am I pointing people to something good, or am I pointing people to just myself and talking about me? Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, and they said, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Again, these Pharisees, man, and these were like the pastors and priests of the day. But they, in that context, they were very powerful. In the Middle Eastern context, very powerful, and they're trying to catch him in something. And then John says this, look, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So again, we see John deflect. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about him. The next day, John saw Jesus coming, and what does he say? John doesn't run over to him, because Jesus was also famous. He doesn't run over to him and say, hey, Jesus, look, it's me, John the Baptist. Can I take a picture with you and take a selfie? You know, can we post this on Instagram together? He doesn't do that. He says, look. Watch this. He says, look. And then we're going to go, the Lamb of God. He's constantly pointing people away from him to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, watch this. Now, this sent chills up my spine. When the two disciples heard John speak, they followed John. No. They followed Jesus. Again, who am I pointing people towards? Who are you pointing people towards? Okay, so that's the second post. First post, John the Baptist, very famous, could point people to him. He's got the check mark next to his name on Facebook. Second post, we see who he's constantly deflecting attention away from himself to other people. Now watch this. Post number three, our final post from John the Baptist. John 3, 26 to 28 and 30 to 31. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you. So now they're talking about Jesus. That man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about. Look, he's baptizing. And everyone's going to him. So they're trying to make John the Baptist jealous. Look, look at everyone over there with him. So you're losing your Facebook followers, John the Baptist. They're all going to him. You're losing your blue check mark. He's getting the blue check mark now. To this, John replied, a person can only receive what is given them from heaven. That is powerful. A person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. Again, everything that John says goes back to him. It's not about me, it's about him. And watch this. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. He must become greater. And this is what John the Baptist says. He must become greater. That guy over there, and I must become less. That's not how it works in our society. It's I become greater at the cost of other people around me. I post things on Facebook and I try to make myself great and I make other people look bad, especially in this political climate that we're living in right now. If we're not careful, we can post things that make us greater, make our side greater, make our people greater, and we tear down the other side constantly, in a quest to be known, in a quest for people to like us. John the Baptist goes on, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. And we'll go to the next slide. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He's talking about Jesus Christ. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Now watch this. To be a known survivor, here's the deal. We have to remember who it's from and who it's for. Okay? So whatever gifts that you have, and I wish I could go around and speak to every single one of you and find out what your gifts are, but whatever gifts those are, you know what those are. We have to remember what those gifts, who they're from and who they're for. So they're given to us by God, and they're given to us for God. So if I have the gift of teaching, it's not for me, it's for God. It's from God, it's for God. If I have the gift to be an auto mechanic, and let me tell you what, that's a gift. It's from God and it's for God. If I have the gift to work at Walmart and be a greeter, and that's an important job, it's from God, it's for God. If I have the gift to be a sailor, or a marine, or a soldier, it's from God. If I have the gift to be a businessman, it's from God, it's for God, right? Our known is for his renown. Is for his renown. And one of the things I talked about on Thursday, so this may be somewhat discouraging, especially in our culture, because we hear this and we say, man, let me just throw out a job. I was at Macy's the other day. And so if I'm at Macy's and I'm a customer attendant, I'm a customer attendant at Macy's. How in the world is that for God's renown? Everything we do is pointing people towards something, correct? Right? So how I interact with people, how I talk to people, how I do my customer service. If I'm a teacher, we're constantly pointing. My mom was a teacher for 36 years in the public school system. Teachers are my absolute heroes. They're angels walking among us. They deal with our kids 8 to 9 to 10 hours a day. They deal with other people's kids. They deal with kids that you can't even imagine with 8 to 9, 10 hours a day. That is pointing people to Christ because that's giving our lives away. It's all about service. So we say, hey, I do this job. Or I do this job, how do I point people to Christ? If I am doing what I do to add value to other people, it's not about me. So I fix cars so I can add value to that family so they can get back on the road and get their job. I teach to second and third graders. Why? Because I want them to grow up and be great citizens who give back to society. They're future presidents and lawyers and doctors and teachers in my class. I serve my country as a sailor, a soldier, marine, not because of me and because of the fact that I want to gain rank. I do it so I can make the world a better place, so I can advance freedom across the nation. I'm a businessman, not for me. I don't earn money for me. I earn money so I can give back to my community and make the world a better place. That's how we say our known is for his renown. What God has given to me, I don't do for me. I do it so I can make the world a better place. So the two most important questions again this morning. What do I want to be known for? And what is my life pointing people towards? It's not that I have to walk around and say things like, make ways, make straight the way of the Lord, because then you're going to be weird and people aren't going to be your friends, right? You don't have to say that. But it's in our actions. It's everything we do. What am I pointing people towards? Remember who it's from. It's from God. Remember who it's for. It's for God. And we'll go to the next slide. We can only receive what is given to us from heaven. We'll go to the next slide. So watch this. Now, this is my favorite quote, and this sent chills up my spine the other day. This is important for all of us, especially those of you who give and you give and you give and you give and you give. I want you to take this last, if you hear nothing else, take this last statement with you. So work hard, hone your craft, broaden your influence, build your career, write great books, move mountains. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious. A lot of times we think as Christians, I can't, it's not about me, and I can't be ambitious, and I can't do great. No. Jesus did great. We're still talking about, and Jesus was fully God, fully man. We're still talking about him 2,000 years later. If you read Jesus, if you read his words, actual words, you realize that he was an ambitious man. God sent his son, and his son was an ambitious man for the cause of God, for the cause of the kingdom. Move mountains, build buildings, ambitiously serve your country, become a captain, become an admiral. Become a senior or master chief petty officer. Raise amazingly talented children who go to top universities. Change lives. Become the teacher of the year. Be the top principal in San Diego County. Then watch this. Take a deep breath and listen for the applause of heaven. It's not for the likes on Facebook. It's not so people will like me more. I don't do what I do. You don't do what you do, so people will like us more, so people will be involved in us more, so people will notice us more. We do it for the applause of heaven. We do it for the applause of heaven. The applause of the one who knew you first and who knows you best, who gifted you and called you. And in the end, that is the only applause that will matter. If we did our best with the gifts and opportunities he gave us and did our best to make him known, we can expect to hear from our Heavenly Father at the end of all of our races, "Well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. You absolutely killed it." And that's what I want to hear at the end of my race. But that means for every single one of us that we have to live life, and this is the greatest way to break down pride, to live with gratitude for what God has given to us, whatever it is, how small or how big it is, and to say, "God, you've given me this gift, whatever that gift is, and I'm going to use that gift to point people towards you by serving my community, by serving the people around me, by giving when I can, doing the best I can to make this world a better place." That's how we bring glory to God. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for this message, and I want to thank you for the words that it has to say. I know for me personally, I took a lot from this message this week. God, I pray for everybody in here. New Hope Community Church is filled with loving, bright, talented people. I mean, really. We've got people of all ranks in the military. We've got businessmen. We've got teachers. We've got doctors. We've got lawyers. We've got people who are dynamic auto mechanics and people who serve at the local mall. We've got nurses and emergency room nurses and all kinds of stuff in this. We are gifted with a blessed congregation. God, I pray that you would help us realize it's not for us. And God, I pray that this piece of property that we have that we're sitting on right now, this $12 million piece of property that we're sitting on and how you've gifted New Hope, that we'd realize it's not for us. That you have given us everything we have. You've gifted us, you've called us, but it's for your renown. So God, I pray for everybody in this room, including myself, that as we walk out of this room today, that we would have the understanding that you have given this to us and help us to walk out, even starting tomorrow, starting today, to give back in the best we can, to add value, to make our communities better, to share your love by helping as many people as we possibly can, wherever it is that you've called us to be, wherever it is. God, I thank you so much for the fact we live in San Diego, for how you've blessed us. We love you today. Be with Pastor Russ and Janie back in Indiana. Pray that even today, as they're in church somewhere back there in the Midwest, that it would be just a great, relaxing day for them. God, we love you today. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.